Let's start over. Right. Just the way Pastor Chad started the service just this morning, if you were here, and just heard him share that writing from a friend of his, our old acquaintance that passed. Wow. That was very impactful and very fitting. I felt like I could leave after he was done sharing that. It just was so good. And then what Tish shared this morning in prayer and with us all just a few minutes ago, that's just my heart, really. That's my heart's cry, that we would just, this year, I mean, today, if you haven't, but just that you would experience the goodness of God, that you would experience His presence in a way that would bring change, because His presence brings change. In His presence is fullness of joy. And I would just really encourage you. I wrote this down thinking I would say it at the end, but I'll say it right now. Mind if I set my timer? Not that that matters. Just kidding. But how do you experience the feelings of something? You know, the feelings that something brings. I'll make it real simple. I'll use, you know, my son as an example, because he's right here. But you know, how do you experience the fun and camaraderie and excitement of right now it's Fortnite, you know, playing Fortnite on a video game? How does he experience all the rage and anger that can bring up, or the feelings of conquering and victory and taking somebody out or whatever? How does he experience that? Well, he does it. He makes himself available. He steps in and just does it. And maybe you've never experienced the presence of the Lord. Well, instead of just that old saying, don't just sit there, do something, maybe you should just not do something and just sit there. And begin thanking Him for everything, because everything is a gift. Maybe when we're singing in worship, maybe raise your hands, maybe sing along, I don't know. It's like in marriage, like, you know, when you're married for so long and the butterflies go away and the feelings, whatever. Do those things that you first did. Like Chad mentioned earlier, slow dance with your wife if you do that. The feelings will follow. But anyways, I better not keep talking about that. But I would encourage you, make yourself available. Take an action that you haven't taken. Take God at His word. In His presence is fullness of joy. As you draw near to Him, He said He'll draw near to you. I mean, He's done everything, really. He's just waiting for you to respond to His overwhelming love and goodness. So I just encourage you that. I want to see a church just full of people who long and hunger for more of God and His presence. Okay, I haven't gotten my message yet, so my timer hasn't really started. But right now, we're a couple days, we're a New Year's Eve. Would that be New Year's Adam? I don't know. I stole that joke from somebody else. Anyways, so, you know, it's very common at this time that we reflect on the past year, maybe how we spent our time, what we experienced. I always play this little mind game by myself because it's probably only fun for me. But I'll be driving somewhere. I did around Thanksgiving or something. I was driving somewhere alone, just in the car, and this random thought. Before you know it, I'll be driving home from Christmas Eve at my mother-in-law's house. And then as we were driving home from Christmas Eve at my mother-in-law's house, I had that thought. Wow, that got here quick. So I do that all the time. I don't know why I do that. I just like to see how fast time goes. Like, because I'll think, well, before you know it, the leaves will be changing colors, And, you know, and there's still snow on the ground from the winter. Like, I hate to bring anybody down, but I do this. But how about that Friday temperature? That was nice, right? 54? I don't know about the roads this morning, but everybody got here safe. Thank you. We prayed for you. So, yes. But you know, this year was busy for me. I didn't have a summer. I hope you did. But it was one of those things where I didn't know how else to handle things as far as the work-life thing goes. And I just had to do what I had to do. But my October was amazing. I had 2 weeks off making memories and investing in myself. My wife and I were able to go with Pastor Chad and his wife to Colorado. And then I was later, a couple weeks later, I was able to enjoy Washington, D.C. with my son. So for a class trip, but it was a neat year and ups and downs, you know, and there's a lot of people in my life. I say a lot, one is a lot, but went home to be with Jesus. And that was hard. To see that just really time just stolen away from them. But that's just you know, I don't mean to sound like I'm minimizing the impact of that, but it's part of life. We know that, and the devil's mean, and one day we won't be limited by time, because in the body, that's the only place where really time really exists, when we're in the body. So I hope you had a great year. I know you all experienced the same things. I just probably said a lot of busyness, losses, good memories made. There was grieving involved in last year, but you know, how do we spend our time? I think about that a lot for myself. How did I spend my time? Did I just kind of coast through mindlessly? Did I get further ahead in areas that I wanted to see some improvement in? I'm not a huge goal setter, but did I reach some goals that I set? I've kind of over the years, last few years especially, just I've had some goals of reading, you know, a certain amount of books, or just some books I've bought, never read, and want to get through those. And, you know, did I get through that? Just simple little things like that. Is my marriage better this year? Is my relationship with my kids improved? Did I make those investments where I needed to make them? And really, when we think about time, again, it's, you know, we take it for granted, but really, if anything, we take anything out of this today. Again, this is a very simple message, very simple topic. But one thing I want to take away from this is that time is really a gift. It's a gift. And just like Pastor Chad was talking, just about how that woman was able to sit and think and put pen to paper, so to speak, and really call out what matters. This has all been mulling over in me. And just about being in the moment. I mean, we know what a waste of time is, right? We know how to do that really good, don't we? Name your favorite thing. When it comes, screens alone, TV, phone, whatever. I mean, pick a screen, any screen. We can waste hours. I mean, I listen to some different people, speakers, podcasts, whatnot, and, you know, citing, I'm into it, but I don't collect it in my head. But statistics, you know, the amount of time people spend watching TV or whatever, it accumulates the average lifespan. It accumulates to like 7 years of your life. And I'm thinking, holy moly, like that's ridiculous. But you know, they got statistics for everything. They got statistics for time you spend on your phone, social media, how many times you look at your phone a day, and so on and so on. And just really looking into this and kind of going into this topic, but it's astronomical how much time and how good we are, if you can use the word good in that sentence, at wasting time. But James, we're going to look at a scripture in James. James gives it to us pretty straight. He's pretty straight shooter James is, if you ever want to get some straight shooting, read James. James 4:14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And like I said, that's probably the thing we take for granted the most, is the gift of time. Because we don't really think about it unless we got to be somewhere. Somebody's taking up our time, you know. I don't know. That can go on for a while. But until something wakes us up, like the tragedy that Pastor Chad shared with us, or even me seeing my kids. Like, I mean, kids are, I always was told, wait till you have kids, you'll really see time fly. And I thought, it seems like you wouldn't, because there's like time landmarks, so to speak. Like when you're an adult, we were married for 10 years without kids. So we got really, really good at being selfish and self-centered and going when we wanted to and whatever, not paying for anything for somebody else. But we were dinks, double income, no kids. So, but I thought when we had kids, there'd be a timeline like, oh, summer, boom, boom, the kids are off. Christmas breaks and different things that's going to chop it up. Well, no, that didn't work, because I still work the same amount of time. My life is still the same. Theirs is different. But so that it is going fast. And you know, I look at my son and I make fun of him, but I'm not really making fun. I love him to pieces. But I, you know, my son's got a mustache now, so he's eighth grade. I'm a sap. When it comes to babies and young kids, I'm really a baby kind of guy. I love babies. I told my wife I'd have 10 when we were starting the family. And I knew that was a safe thing to say because she only wanted two, and that's how it worked. So, but I love kids to pieces, and I can't get enough of just staring at my kids and enjoying them and seeing. I'm enjoying each stage. Now, have I? No. I haven't been in the moment. I remember, you know, just different moments, making my kids cry because I was losing it. The first year my wife she works at Bronner's in Christmas season, which is, it's enjoyable for her. But I remember the first year she did it and the kids were young and I was pulling them in the wagon doing yard work. And I was asking my daughter to pick up giant rocks and whatever. And like, come on, you're three, you can do this. And, but, you know, just having them help me do yard work, and it was probably a little cold and I didn't realize what I was doing with, I thought you guys are slaves too, right? And, but anyways, I hope I didn't offend somebody, by saying it, but no, I love my kids. I love my kids, and, they help me and stop. And they at one point they just stopped and were like, we miss mom. And I'm like, I miss your mom too. I'm like, I'm sorry, you guys, let's go inside and just be miserable together. So we went and probably ate a gallon of ice cream and waited for mom to get home. But just being in the moment, in those moments, and again, it is crazy. I'm getting way off. I'm spending too much time on things that are, don't need time spent on them. But we typically come to our senses, if you will, when it comes to time, realizing that it is a gift, you know, like just the amount of time you're somewhere. Like for me, it's my job. I make reference to that a lot. I don't hate my job, but it's like, how did I end up here? It's 26 years ago. How am I still doing this? Like, didn't I just start here? I'm staring down the barrel at 50 years old. Like, what in the world's happening? But hey, 50 is the new something younger, right? 30? I don't know. I hope so. But it's amazing how fast time can go. And I can't echo enough what Pastor Chad says just about living in the moment, stealing away a moment. And I'm not gonna cry. But the other day I was sitting at Christmas time watching I don't know why, I do this, but I don't usually do it a lot. But I just started staring at my wife and it's almost like everything just disappeared. I said I wasn't gonna cry. But it was just amazing to be in that moment and to see her as a gift. And in the moment yesterday, my daughter is so goofy. If you know her, you know her. She's a crazy kid. I love her. But I was going, she was in the bathroom washing her hands or something, and I saw it was open just a crack. And I saw her I came around the corner and I saw her at the sink, and she has this routine for washing her hands. It's ridiculous. But she may be a surgeon, I don't know, someday. But she started washing her hands. I was going to kind of scare her, but I wasn't going to go boo. I was just going to stare at her because sometimes I've gotten her. And so I was just at her eye level, just waiting. And all of a sudden she starts singing to herself. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm like, this is the most precious moment of my day. And I don't know what she was singing. I think it was a Christmas song. And she came out. I didn't get her. She just was like, oh, hi. I'm like, hi. I was like, I wasn't going to scare you. She goes, I was a little bit, but not bad. I said, you were singing. She goes, I was? I'm like, yeah, you were singing. It was awesome. But just little moments like that. I realize this is a phase in my life. I'm enjoying this, and you guys have already been through this. I'm like, we don't need to hear your stories. We've already been there. But maybe you're a grandparent. You know, I don't know. I can't wait to be that. I got a little ways to go, but I hear that's awesome. But it is always time to reflect and take inventory. I know we're facing a new year. But thanks to inventory, and are you living in those moments? Are you appreciating the gift of of time? Are you appreciating the gift of your family? Are you appreciating even the gift of your work, your job, whatever you do is a gift. I mean, to be able to do whatever you do is a gift because God's given you the ability to do it. You may not see it that way. You may think, I hate this place, whatever. Start worshiping God with that time and thanking Him for the gift to be able to do whatever you're doing. But it's time to take inventory. Let's look at Ephesians. It tells us the best thing we can do with our time. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In Ephesians, the same verse in Ephesians, this is 5:15 through 16, like it says, it's in the voice. This is in the voice. This is a little more, it's just different, but it's clear. So be careful how you live. Be mindful of your steps. Don't run around like idiots as the rest of the world does. Instead, walk as the wise. Make the most of every living and breathing moment because these are evil times. And that word circumspectly in the King James Version, New King James Version, it means diligently. Diligently. See it, that you walk diligently. I look at that, I think of intentionally when I read that word diligently. And the word redeeming, you probably know this, but just to throw it out there for definition's sake, to buy up, to ransom, or to rescue from loss. And we do need to rescue some lost time. And I think that comes by just being aware. There's a saying I heard, it was timely, I hate to use a pun, but Stephen Covey, the author who wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, it's still on my list to read, by the way. I started listening to it and then I started reading it and I never could get past something. So still on the list. But in the book, I'm assuming, or whether it is or not, he made this quote. It says, the key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities. To schedule your priorities. And I thought that was great. And the first thing I thought of is relationships first. Because that is the greatest gift in this life. It's all about relationship. And also, don't forget to invest in time in yourself. We learned this year in a series about that is your greatest investment, your greatest asset is you. And taking time to invest in yourself is very important. You actually are affecting those around you when you take time to invest in yourself. And we'll get into that in a little bit. I'm going to read this verse in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. It says, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and comes from God and dwells inside of you? You do not own yourself. You have been purchased at a great price. So use your body to bring glory to God." And like I said earlier, time is only applicable when you have a body. You realize that? You ever think about that? Outside of this body, there is no limit. There is no such thing as time. You step into eternity. Eternity is, Pastor Chad said this recently, it was kind of hard to fathom, but eternity is inside of God, within Him. He holds eternity in His hand. Like, it's amazing. And He's the one that created this thing we know as time. And we have limits. So one thing we should do, I mean, based on this verse, he has purchased us with His blood. We are no longer our own. And we, you know, the word says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, to seek Him first, His kingdom, His ways of doing things, His ways of being right, which is through Jesus Christ. And we should be honoring Him and seeking His wisdom in this thing we call time, and this how to use this gift and manage. I'm going to correct what I'm saying right now, but manage this gift we call time. I heard one person saying, I'm not fully certain that I agree with it or not, but I get it, that you cannot manage time. There is no such thing as managing time because we all get the same amount. This guy says, he says, you can only manage yourself. Amen. And I'm like, I think I agree with that, but I overthink. So I talk myself out of thinking I agree with some things. But anyways, but you can only manage yourself. And I realize that things in life happen. Through this message, I'm not, you know, make-believing that everything is perfect and you have 100% total control of everything. We know that's ridiculous. Like, things are going to be a demand on you, and important things are going to demand your time or your adjustment of your time. We all know that. I mean, if you've been alive for a very short time, you know that. Jimmy Evans, he's a pretty popular pastor in Texas, a big marriage teacher. I heard him say this, and I'm not quoting him verbatim, but you'll get the idea. And I really think there's a lot of powerful truth in it. He says to live every day like you're going to leave tomorrow, but plan like you're going to be here for 120 years. So live every day like you're going to leave tomorrow, but plan like you're going to be here for the long haul, basically. So be now in the moment minded, and also be in the future minded. Don't have that. As Christians, I can attest, I'm confessing this myself, that I've had escape mentality, get me out of this place, Jesus, hurry up, you know, which that's just ridiculous. We're supposed to be looking real good when He comes back, a victorious church, not a bunch of beaten down, crying, whining in a corner, covered up under a blanket, hurry up, Jesus, I don't think I'm going to make it. What, that'll just, it's really a horrible way to think. Right? Why would you want to come back to that? No. But anyways, I forgot what I was saying. So I really like that quote that Jimmy Evans I just read, because it does cover both things about living in the moment and about planning for the future. Because, I mean, I mentioned that this next year I'm going to be the big 5-0, but I started thinking about that. I'm the big 4-9 right now. And I thought, wait a minute, when you hit 5-9 and a half, you can start taking out of your 401k. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, it puts things in perspective. And now is the time I want to keep doing that. Because when I get there, which is going to be in about 5 minutes, it seems like, you know, if we're still here, if the Lord tarries, I like to throw that in the end. That's a Christianese thing to say. If the Lord tarries, you know, to be honest with you, I'm going to tell you something. I had a conversation with some seventh grade classmates. I went to a Christian school. So that's how this conversation came up, I guess. But we're taking a survey amongst us, our wise minds. So when do you think Jesus is coming back? I'm like, I don't think we'll make it to high school. This was like in 1980 something, three or two or one or something. I said, I don't think we'll make it to high school. Oh my gosh. I've been out of high school for 30 years. Shows you what I know. So I kind of get rid of that escape mentality a long time ago. I don't care. So, hey, we're here already. How about that? But life will happen, like I said. Life happens. We all know it. And we need to adjust. We need to do what our phones say, recalculating, you know, sometimes. But there's one thing, if there's one little bits of wisdom I can throw out there, I've kind of been put in my life. I heard somebody say once after I had started doing this, so it's not like I'm the original thinker of this, but be selfish at 5 a.m., this person said. Now, that could be any time for you. My 5 a.m. is 3:40 a.m., so that's when my alarm goes off, but I'll get into that. I won't get into the minutiae of that, but that's my 5 a.m. You know why? I can be selfish. Nobody else is there to bother me. That's the time that I make that investment in me. Because when I get home from work, everybody's there, and you know, you got to mix it up with the fam. But that's, so maybe you're a night owl. Maybe your 5 a.m. is 11 p.m. I don't know. Maybe it's 12 p.m. or a.m. That would be midnight. 12 a.m. I don't know. But maybe going into this next year, think about how you can make an investment in you and yourself. And again, your family will reap the benefits of that. And that's just one way to redeem time. Because if you wait for a convenient moment, it won't happen. I just to be real, I do not go to bed at 11 p.m. to get up at 3:40. So I have to, when you say yes to one thing, you're most likely saying no to something else. So I'm saying yes to 3:40. I'm saying no to staying up past 8 usually. Between 8 and 9, we'll see. But it's somewhere in there. And things happen. Basketball games, whatever. Things are, you know, stuff happens. Got to make adjustments, whatever. But I'm not telling you this to, I hope this doesn't sound like I'm sounding something special or whatever. I'm just telling you, I've gleaned this from people who are smarter than me. So if I see somebody who's where I want to be, I want to probably put into practice what they're doing, maybe, or start trying out some different things, making some changes, trying something new. I was thinking about this like yesterday. I thought this is kind of like a paycheck. Like, so I got my paycheck, my last stub out, and I started going down it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, 56% of this is gone before it hits my account. And then after it hits my account, we have to decide. My wife is our office manager. She's very good. But we have to decide what we do with that. I mean, there's a limited amount, but we decide, you know, obviously you have things you have to do. So you have to decide what you're going to do with that. And thinking to the future, like part of that 56% that I don't see right now, you know, part of that is looking to the future. And I had to choose that. So with time, I started going through time, like what I really need to do, and I think we would all be helpful, is sit down and think, what do I want my life to look like? I'm very big on numbers when it comes to just life and crunching numbers and looking at stuff, and it's kind of boring, nerdy maybe. But I always think, how can I tweak this? How can I tweak that? You know, I get a little too caught up in that. Well, I do it with time also. So I take the 24 hours, I subtract my 8 hours, I subtract my 11 hours for work, and then I got 5 hours left, and then I subtract that. And I figured out that on the average weekday, I have about an hour and a half that's not scheduled. Now, I use that term loosely, but that's not much time. It doesn't seem like much time. So how am I going to use that time? And I'm constantly making adjustments. But that's something maybe you should do going into this new year. Take a little bit of an inventory. Where is this going? And am I investing in the things that really matter? In time in God's presence? Time with those that I care most about? Time in yourself? Because you'll get down to a point, and like this, I keep going back to this, but this was so perfect for me today anyways. This woman that shared her heart before she left this earth, she would reiterate this, what I heard Zig Ziglar say, I'd rather say I'm glad I did than I wish I had. You know? And, you know, your time is being spent, whether you are aware of it or obviously, you're spending your time, whether you're conscious of what you're doing or not. So choose wisely. Seek wisdom. Seek God's wisdom on this. And choose to honor God with your schedule, whatever you do. Lord, you know, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, not as unto man. And even in your time, this gift of time, I wrote some things down here that was just coming up in me in worship. You know, time in God's presence is never wasted. In His presence, the Bible says, is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. And time in His word is never wasted. Time with your children is never wasted. You can create a waste of it by maybe the way you act, I don't know. But time with your family, your wife, is never wasted. Time doing things for them is never wasted. I mean, I'm actually finished talking, but I mean, at least with the message. But I can't say enough how important it is for us to step into the gift, the realization that time is this gift, and that we need to invest it and think about and take inventory of how we are using it. Are we redeeming it or are we wasting it? And ask Him for wisdom. I mean, I may be doing so many things wrong, I don't even know. I'm a very routine person. It's ridiculous. But I did hear one person say, "In your success is found in your daily routine." So I might have that going for me. But like on an airplane, they tell you to put your oxygen mask on first before you start helping other people. Maybe you're not investing in you. And, you know, maybe you need to impart that in your life. I don't know. But if anything, like I said, to take away from this, that our time is a gift from God. We need to redeem it. He tells us to redeem it. And He will also give us the wisdom and show us how to redeem it and not waste it. And let me close in prayer, and just we can be dismissed. Father, I thank You so much for this gift that we call time. You knitted us in our mother's womb. You are the one that planned it all out. how we got here, who we were born to, where we were born. We had no choice in the matter. But you tell us to redeem the time. So, Father, I'm just praying right now in this year ahead that you would give us understanding, insight, and wisdom in how to redeem the time and how to worship you in our time. That we may, as we talked about today, experience your goodness, and that through that others would experience your goodness and see your goodness in our lives. Father, I pray a blessing over each and every person here in the sound of my voice. Awaken us to who we are and who you are in us this year, this coming year. I just pray, Father, that this would be the greatest year of our lives. You are for us, and if you are for us, who can be against us? We thank you for your love, your unfailing love, your goodness. May we experience knowing your presence and investing time, not just with busyness, but investing time just sitting in your presence, experiencing the beauty and knowing what fullness of joy really is, because you are the source of joy. You are the source of hope. You are the source of good. You are love. We need nothing more than you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.